Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I don't know why we would reach out to a governor or governors who are clearly playing a political game, right? It is something that they're doing not to find a solution, but to literally put people's lives at risk.
A permanent member of the United Nations Security Council invaded its neighbor, attempted to erase a sovereign state from the map. Russia has shamelessly violated the core tenets of the United Nations Charter.
I look forward to going into the office of Attorney General every day, suing him, defending your rights, and then going home.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm not home. I'm here in Washington, D.C. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, 704-570-1110. We are live. And I am atop the building that is directly across from both the Capitol and Union Station. We are here as part of an invited group of guests participating in the Hold Their Feet to the Fire radio show that's going to be happening today and tomorrow. We're going to be doing a lot of conversation about illegal immigration, about the threats from fentanyl. Terrorism, all the stuff that's out there. And we'll have a number of tremendous guests joining us over the course of the next 3 hours. But I am well aware that there are multiple storylines that are moving out there. I watched the Letitia James announcement today that she's suing Donald Trump and everybody named Trump because she made it abundantly clear, like you heard in that opening, about wanting to just sue him constantly. This is a full court press that is underway right now. It is an incredible thing to look at where we are in this country. And they're trying to put the veto in effect before you get to 2024. But they have a problem. They have a significant problem that is unbelievable. And the significant problem that they have on their hands is this illegal immigration issue. You heard a clip. The very first clip in that open was Karine Jean-Pierre talking to Alex Wagner over at MSNBC last night. And she makes the point that what these governors like DeSantis and Abbott are doing with the illegal migrants is putting their lives in danger by sending them to blue cities. Are you kidding me? They are acknowledging, they are embracing the very argument that we have been making. One, blue cities are incredibly dangerous. You're at greatest risk when you go into a blue city. By and large, look at Chicago, look here at Washington, D.C., although I'm pleasantly surprised at how much better it is here than it was in New York City when I was there a few months ago. These are dangerous places, and they're dangerous places for migrants. And the migrant issue is a huge issue because you notice in the last 24 hours, there has been a pivot that has taken place at the White House. They don't any longer want to talk about the people who are suffering in the triangle countries, you know, El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, Mexico. They now want to talk about, oh, it's Cuba, it's Nicaragua, it's Venezuela, and Maduro's emptying his jails. They've been doing that the entire time. We've got people in the country illegally from 147 countries in our nation. This is not about failed state. This is not about communism. This is not about any of that. What this is really about is fundamentally transforming what it is to be an American citizen, what it is to be somebody who is a stakeholder in the United States of America, and that's what they want to do. I call this the FDA strategy, the FDA strategy, Future Democrats of America. That is exactly what is happening. Pete Callender talks about this a lot. He talks about it even more than I do when he's mentioning the idea that demographics is destiny. That was the hot topic back in 2012. America's changing. It's not going to be the same old white bread America, white toast America, oatmeal America. It's a different kind of a place, except for one thing. What the left never understands is people, no matter where you come from, you can come from Uzbekistan or you can come from Utica, New York, and you have the ability to make decisions based on your life, your aspirations, and your desires. You don't have to become a Democrat because you came into the United States. You could do a little investigation and realize that you've had your fill in Uzbekistan of big government. Such big government that the Taliban can come and lop your head off. No. See, this is what it comes down to. We are in a place right now where the Biden caucus, and those are all the people that are in support of the Biden agenda in all of its promise. All right, it is not liberal Democrats. There are conservatives who are traditional conservative Republicans that don't like you being part of the political debate in this country, that are sidled right up there with Joe Biden. You doubt me? Look at the Koch brothers. Look at the Chamber of Commerce at the national level, hoping to get as much unskilled labor in as they possibly can because they don't want to pay Americans a decent earning wage. And so when you talk about demography is destiny, it is, but only to a certain point. And the proof is actually visible for each and every one of us right now in this country. If you look at the negative opinions of Joe Biden's border policies among, of all people, Hispanics and Latin Americans. You look at the way Hispanic voters feel in South Texas, down by Del Rio, all the way up into New Mexico, Arizona, and out to the California border. The American people are sick and tired of the lawless nature of this regime in Washington, D.C. And I want to invite you to be a part of this conversation at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Breaking Brett Jensen is going to join us in this next segment because the President of the United States went and gave a speech at the U.N. He knew we were coming, so he ran out to the U.N. to give a speech today. And he had things to say about Putin and Ukraine and all that sort of stuff. I'm going to get Brett Jensen's reaction since he was just there a matter of weeks ago. We've got tremendous guests who are coming by, and we are taking your phone calls at 704-570-1110. Don't forget, we want you on that trip to Italy with us in June of 2023. Cruise-tour.com to get information. I'm Brett Witterbo, live in Washington, D.C. Pardon the sirens. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Pam Warner's got a look at the traffic.
Well, last year, our world has experienced great upheaval. A growing crisis in food insecurity, record heat, floods, and droughts, COVID-19, inflation, and a brutal, needless war. A war chosen by one man, to be very blunt. Let us speak plainly. A permanent member of the United Nations Security Council invaded its neighbor, attempted to erase a sovereign state from the map. Russia has shamelessly violated the core tenets of the United Nations Charter.
Oh, it is the Brett Witterbull Show. It takes two Bretts to make sense of what it is that's going on at the United Nations, Ukraine, Russia, and beyond. I am live in Washington, D.C., and we are tracking immigration, migration, you name it, we've got it. And I want to bring Breaking Brett Jensen into the program because not only does he do a tremendous job, 7 to 8 every night, Monday through Friday, Breaking with Brett Jensen, but of course he was just there in Ukraine. We're hearing a lot of ratcheting up here, Brett Jensen. Vlad Putin alluding to the use of nuclear weapons, perhaps. We're seeing reports of mobilization of reservists inside of Russia. People are starting to freak out, especially the young who don't want to necessarily go and lose their lives fighting in Ukraine. How do you unpack this, Brett Jensen, with an eye towards what it was you saw and what you heard from people on the ground?
Well, it's funny you say that because earlier, by the way, it's good to be with you, Brett.
Good to be with you.
Earlier this morning, I sent a message to the 19-year-old student that I interviewed live on Bo and Beth's show when I was in Ukraine, standing at the square, one of the most famous squares in Kyiv. And I sent him a message this morning, and I said, hey, Alex, you know, what are your thoughts? Are you guys nervous? Do you think Putin will use, like, nukes? Like, what are your thoughts on this? And they don't think they will. And like they, but you also have to put that in context. 90%, and that's not an exaggeration, it may even be higher with all the polls, but the citizens of Ukraine never thought Putin was going to invade in the first place. Like, they just thought it was all rhetoric. And so now they still think this is rhetoric about the nukes and whatever. And I mean, I've watched BBC, I've watched DW, the station out of Germany.
Oh, yeah.
I've watched a lot of stuff over the last 24 hours internationally, see what they're saying about this, the European continent. And most military experts say, look, if he uses nukes, it's not going to be on Kyiv or Kharkiv or even Lviv, the three big cities. It would be like in the areas that that Ukraine is taking over in the eastern portion or in the southern portion of Ukraine. That, you know, they just had that fake annex vote that said, oh, by a vote of 85%, they want to be part of Russia, these places that we occupy, which, of course, was a fake vote. And so they're thinking if they would use something there, that would be where it would be located. But from the international news agencies that you're hearing, but it is right now. I mean, they're still riding high. All the Ukrainians are riding high about having received back what 9,000 square kilometers or 12,000 square kilometers as it stands now of regained land. And how Russia is in deep trouble, and how they just called up all these reservists. And now you've got, Brett, you know, you saw the thing about how all these men are trying, they immediately, all these flights out of Russia booked up within minutes of the call, basically the draft. And they said, oh, we're getting out of here. And it got so bad that the airlines had to quit selling tickets.
Yeah, because they're not moving to other parts of Russia. They're going to like Yerevan and Armenia and other places around the region, right? That where you're able to go and travel into these other republics that surround Russia. But at the same time, we are $54 billion into this war. $54 billion, and it seems that every 5 or 6 weeks, you know, you hear another announcement come out with another tranche of 20 billion, 10 billion, 11, whatever it is. And I don't see, this looks to me like it's going to be a stalemate that's going to go a little this way and a little that way. And that's the way that they have fought these fights. This is the way they fought in 14. This is the way they have fought in the Balkans. This stuff doesn't get resolved overnight. I think Putin understands if he deploys a nuclear weapon, that he's done. It's going to change the nature of warfare forever.
You're right about that. So, I tend to agree with you with that. I think he understands. And then you have to understand that maybe he orders it, but maybe the generals are like,
exactly,
there is no way we're firing this. You know, but the other thing is, you know, you had the head of China last week and the head of Turkey last week all to each tell him, like, you know, seriously, like, this needs to end. And, like, this is not a good look right now. And Putin basically ignored them. You know, when you've got Turkey and China, two of his more bigger allies, going, look, end this thing. And he still hasn't. And now he's escalating it. And it's to the point now, like I said, I think you're more right about the stalemate. That's what I think. And I can tell you, in Ukraine, having spoken to people,
right,
their thing was, what they want to do is they want to be Afghanistan's, this version of Afghanistan to Russia in 1980, when Russia invaded in 1980 in Afghanistan. Russia could never win. Afghanistan, the Taliban was never going to win, but they were going to bleed Russia dry, and that's what happened, and that's what they want to do here. They just want to bleed Russia dry, be this version of Vietnam for Russia. And while the problem is, and you've seen all the reports, that while all the military stuff is getting to the front lines, it's only a third of the cash that we're sending and NATO is sending is getting to where it needs to go, because the other two-thirds are lining pockets.
That's right. Here's the fundamental problem here, all right? Russia was regarded as a fearful adversary, a feared adversary for a long period of time. And when you see the weaponry we've been able to deploy through NATO means, it's very clear that they are not up to the task of taking on not just Ukraine, but other nations in NATO in that part of the world. And if they feel like they've got to go to nukes, it's really the last act of a desperate despot. And that's the problem. It's not something you go to as your first resort. It's the thing you go to as your final resort as you're on your way out, reminiscent of Adolf in the bunker in April of 45. Breaking Brett Jensen.
Yeah, and the thing is, you're right. You're right, Brett. And so, but I could not agree with more with you about that.
What do you got coming up on the show tonight, so people are ready?
Well, oddly enough, we're going to talk a little bit more about Ukraine and the speech that Putin gave yesterday, followed by the speech that Biden gave today. Governor Cooper, he's coming to the President's Cup tomorrow, so get ready for that, Brett Winterbull.
Is the President coming?
We don't know yet. We haven't gotten any indication from the White House that he's coming, or, for that matter, or even that President Trump is coming, because he's got a rally in Wilmington on Friday.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of speculation that he would be here during the day and at Wilmington at night, with no confirmation on that yet either.
All right, the sirens are coming at me. I got to let you go. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Anna Erickson, save me, save me. They're coming for me.
All right, I'll save you, Brett.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, 704-570-1110. Everything's fair game that's out in the news today. For you to check in, I can't believe the amount of feedback I'm still getting from NyQuil Chicken. I'm amazed at the feedback we've gotten about NyQuil Chicken. I got to tell you something. TJ, you'll appreciate this. I get home last night, I'm talking to Luke. That's my son, as people may or may not know. And I say to Luke, you're not going to believe what they're doing now out there on the TikTok and every place else. You know, you're not going to believe it. And he goes, I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know what it is. Don't even tell me. I go, it's called NyQuil Chicken. He goes, oh, the FDA already warned everybody about that. You're not supposed to eat NyQuil chicken. I mean, this is insane. All right, this is insane, especially when you consider what it is that China does with the TikTok inside the country as a means of elevating the culture and the commentary and all that sort of stuff. And we get all this garbage put on our platforms here looking to try to get kids to hurt themselves. One of the great guests that's going to be coming by in the next hour as we get ramped up here live in Washington, D.C., talking to the folks that are on the front lines regarding this battle against not just illegal immigration and cartel violence, but the fentanyl issue. We're going to have a very long, experienced law enforcement officer who's going to talk with us about this effort to bring more and more fentanyl in. And again, we know where this tracks back to. It tracks back to China. If you're caught with fentanyl in China, they'll put you to death. But if you export it to us here in the West, you'll be celebrated as a force for getting even with the hegemon that is the United States of America. We are seeing our stupidity weaponized. We are seeing drugs weaponized. We are seeing migration weaponized, all in an effort to try to hurt us. And what you're going to end up happening is you're going to see an incredibly frustrated voting class of people who are not going to take it for much longer. You just saw that those interest rates went up again today, 3/4 of a point. Mortgages are now in the sixes. They were in the threes when Joe Biden was immaculated as the president of the United States. And now you've got another aspect of this discussion taking place. And that is a debate over allowing undocumented immigrants to get in-state tuition. This has been present in a number of places, most recently California. California is very big on giving everybody anything that they want. You want medical care, you've got a fever in your foot, you've got a carbuncle from Kazakhstan, you come on in and we'll give you the treatment for that. You want to get an abortion and you're all the way in the northern territories of Norway, come on in, we'll give you an abortion. Well, in-state tuition for illegal immigrants is a huge hot topic out, especially in the progressive states like California, New York, Illinois, and Oregon. Well, now the debate is kicking off in Arizona, and that tells me it's only a matter of time before it comes right here to Charlotte and beyond. There is a debate, Prop 308, on the November ballot that would overturn a measure approved more than a decade ago. In November, Arizona voters will decide if Dreamers can get in-state college tuition. Supporters of Prop 308 said it would transform the lives of thousands of undocumented immigrants who want to go to college. It would be life-changing to know that the students won't feel the same way that I did, says Maria Garcia, a 19-year-old Dreamer. If passed, Prop 308 would allow all students who attended Arizona high schools for 2 years to get in-state tuition regardless of their immigration status. Back in 2006, voters approved a measure preventing undocumented immigrants from qualifying for in-state tuition. This is the problem with the political debate in our country right now. You had Barack Obama come out and essentially create the dreamer class of young people, but would never go that extra mile to try to get them citizenship. When Donald Trump made the effort to try to bring the dreamers out of the shadows and into a pathway for citizenship, Lil Dick Durbin stands there and says that Donald Trump said mean things about countries that are not quite as nice as our own. And you know what the terminology was that was used. They decided to take 13 million dreamers and say, we're going to deny you opportunity because bad orange man. And that's what you had happen as a result. So Donald Trump attempted to resolve this issue. The Republicans wanted to resolve this issue, but it was Big Dick Blumenthal and Lil Dick Durbin, and the two of them got together. And I say that because of their height differentials. I mean, Dick Blumenthal, Danang Dick from Connecticut, he's like 6'8". And, you know, what's his name? Durbin. You can carry him in one of those baby swatches. You know those hammocks, those baby hammocks that you see people carrying babies around in? I mean, Dick Durbin, he doesn't go much more than 5'2.5" with lifts. I mean, he's positively Tom Cruise height. And I can say that as someone who's fun size myself. So, I mean, the fact of the matter is, you had an opportunity to fix this. And so now what happens? It goes back to the states. The states are going to have to fight this out. States are more stressed than ever before with illegal migrants coming in, with cartel activities going on, with inflation happening now, an uptick in crime. Oh, I can just imagine all of the taxpayers queuing up around the block, as far as the eye can see, to participate in this. All the while, Joe Biden is throwing helicopter money off the balcony at the White House to try to pay for people's debts. It's incredible, folks. $6 trillion in stimulus money went out during COVID. This is why everything is more expensive. This is why it's so important to control the border, but we're not. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Pam Warner's got a look at the roads. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. You hear that sound? That's the sound of criminal justice. We got sirens. It might be the sound of emergency medical, though, too, because that could be a fire truck. We're outside. I'm outside. I'm going to do this. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a picture of where I am, and I'll post it up on my Twitter and Facebook page when we get up. It's a fire truck. When we get up into this next segment, sorry, this is Washington, D.C. at its finest. I'm directly adjacent from the post office and the main post office and Union Station. And nobody gets out of the way for fire trucks in this town. It's incredible. Let's grab a call from Dan. Dan, you are up first, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Good day to you, sir.
It's good to
do
be
you
with
have
you.
A helmet?
I do not have a helmet. We're up pretty high. I'm up pretty
really
high.
You should have considered that. Hey, listen, I have a really good idea. I'd like to sneak illegally into Great Britain. Immigrate there illegally, of course. But, you know, I'm retired now, and I really haven't taken that extra step to get the doctorate degree. But I've always wanted to. Do you think I could get them to pay for a degree at either Oxford or Cambridge?
I don't know. Unless if the Queen left you something in the will.
Well,
maybe a little something for you. You want to hear something
How about
incredible?
Chuck? Maybe I could call Chuck.
Let me tell you something here, Dan. This is interesting.
Hey, you know, I saw today he is now... Now that he's King Charles III, he's also known as the artist formerly known as Prince.
Oh, yes! Okay, TJ, that's a call of the day point right there. That is so good. That's call
Hello.
Of the day.
Hello.
I mean, am I
hi?
Don't hang
you
up.
You just heard the call of the day, brought to you by High Performance Real Estate Advisors.
Dude, that was really good. And I mean, I love bad jokes, and that is cream de la creme. You know what I'm saying?
I'm glad I could make you smile in Washington, D.C. That's yes, hard to do.
Well, because you know what? The management's not here right now. You know what I'm saying? He's in New York City over there at the UN. But let me tell you.
I heard the property values went up this morning when he left town.
No comment. I have to get out of this town. I gotta be they're watching me. Here's the thing.
All right, you be safe and travel well.
You got it, buddy. I appreciate you being out there, Dan. I wanna share this piece of information though. When you're watching college football, or any sporting event, but college football, because they run all those commercials for the different universities. And I always go and look because I've got a junior in college and I've got one going off to college in the fall. And I always am curious to look at the tuition. I'm like, okay, what does that cost to go to? Oh, what's Wake Forest cost? What does Carolina cost? What's Clemson cost? I'm always looking at the prices. I'm just a very curious guy like that. I went and I looked for the price to go to Oxford. I'm figuring, what's Oxford? I mean, if Harvard's like $100,000 a year when you factor in the room and the board and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, what is Oxford? Oxford's got to be, way up there, right? No, it's cheap. It's actually cheap. And don't quote me on the number, but I'm talking like $25,000 a year cheap, which I wouldn't think that's what the Oxford thing would be, or Cambridge, or those prestigious universities over in England. But I looked at it. You can look it up. You can, TJ, you can Google it. Just be like Oxford University tuition. And it's really crazy cheap. And you think about a world-class education that you're getting. And it dawned on me because they've essentially had like 1,200 years of endowment. I mean, Oxford's like a really old university. they've long since paid for it. And they're able to offer those sorts of prices. This is the fundamental problem in our country, right? Because we're in a place in this nation where you can go and shop around for ramen noodles, you can shop around for a computer, you can shop around within reason for a car, although all cars are now very expensive. Yeah, you can do all those things, but the one market that is not ever, ever, ever competitive is universities, colleges and universities. They've absolutely got you over a barrel. Well, okay, maybe it's not just colleges, universities. Sometimes it's rock concerts and festivals, right? They can charge what they want to charge because they have an incredibly low supply of what's available at a given spot. And sporting events, depending on the sporting event. But at a country that is known for our colleges and universities, and we have got people that beat a pathway to our doors to go to school in the United States in the hopes that they'll make the right connections, do the right stuff, get your kid to become a Chinese communist. No, I'm kidding. But when you think about what you've got going on in this country, why wouldn't you want to have a competitive system? I mean, my understanding is Teddy Roosevelt was a trust buster once upon a time, was worried about monopolies once upon a time. Nobody ever goes after the colleges and universities. I'm setting aside the state universities. I'm talking about the private institutions of higher learning, because you do have ways to set fees. You do have the ability to lobby your folks there in your state capital, whether it's in Raleigh or in Columbia. You can go and say, we ought to drop the tuition. We ought to do this. We ought to do that. But when it comes to the private institutions, holy cow. You are up a creek sans a paddle if you've got to write those checks. And now imagine if you're a parent who's got to now go take out loans for your kid to go to college, and you no longer are in that 3%. You're now in that 6 and 7 and 9 and 12 and 14% rate. What are you going to do? I guess you're going to have to look at maybe some of those scholarships or ROTC or GI Bill or any of that sort of stuff. That's what we're looking at here, folks. All right, that's 1 hour down. We got two more to go. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. I'm Brett Winterbull live in Washington, D.C. Back after this. News Talk 1110993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. I am solo here in Washington, D.C. today for the Hold Their Feet to the Fire event. We're going to be bringing on some experts here in this hour and the following hour, talking about the issues of illegal immigration, border security, fentanyl, all the challenges that we are facing. And we're going to be visiting with some tremendous guests who are beginning to come in and going to share their stories with each and every one of you. So Coach Doherty's not with me today. Obviously, I'm here in D.C. He's back in Charlotte, he will be back with us next week. But something that would be of interest, I think, to Coach Doherty would be a discussion of a fellow basketball player, Bill Walton. Bill Walton is very upset with the mayor of San Diego, Todd Gloria. Listen to this story. I mean, this is how out of control this is getting. Bill Walton is challenging San Diego City Hall to get a grip on the homelessness crisis. Walton, a progressive Grateful Dead enthusiast who is hardly a Rush Limbaugh acolyte, has called out San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria in multiple forums. The website Voice of San Diego documented several letters that Walton has been writing to Gloria on the issue, including one where the NBA and broadcasting legend said he was assaulted. Bill Walton, assaulted? Who assaults Bill Walton? I mean, what kind of lack of respect is an assault on Bill Walton? An assault on Bill Walton is an assault on everyone. Once again, while peacefully riding my bike early this Sunday morning in Balboa Park, I was threatened, chased, and assaulted by the homeless population in our park. Once again, you've done nothing and continue to do nothing. And he attached a picture of a gaggle of ne'er-do-wells and criminal types. I mean, these don't just look like homeless people down on their luck. These look like people who would want to run out and assault and chase and scare people who are just using the park for their own enjoyment. On August 24th, Walton wrote, "You speak of the rights of the homeless. What about our rights? We follow the rules of a functioning society. Why are others allowed to disregard those rules? Your lack of action is unacceptable, as is the conduct of the homeless population. The last several years has been a spike in homelessness in many big cities." That, if you're not familiar with the backstory of that, it's absolutely fascinating. Tucker Carlson did a whole breakdown of that back in January of this year. A very, 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 very times 10 powerful law firm called Latham & Watkins went and fought on behalf of a person who was living out of doors and demanded a right to live out of doors. And they took the case as a pro bono case and won at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals there in California, where now you have a right. They can't. The reason why you've got homeless in every city and you don't see the cops taking them into custody or anything like that is because the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that you have a right to lay anywhere you want in a city, use the facilities out on the sidewalk, on a driveway, in somebody's yard. I mean, there's very little that can be done with these free-range folk, many of whom are addlepated and decided they were going to chase Bill Walton as he was riding his bicycle. I mean, it's absolutely absurd and disgusting on so many levels. Mike Lindell of MyPillow was raided by the FBI, you'll recall, just last week. He talked about this story. Mike Lindell is now suing the FBI and the DOJ for violating his constitutional rights. Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray are defendants. That's right, Mike Lindell, who I think the last thing we heard from Mike Lindell was his description of the Hardee's biscuit bust. How did that go, TJ?
And we go through a Hardee's drive-thru. We pull around the back, and we're just about going through. We pull through the drive-thru. They take the order. We pull up, and she says, pull ahead, you know, because they had to make the order if the order wasn't done. Uh-huh. We pull ahead, and a car comes perpendicular and parks like a little ways in front of us, and I've been around the block, and I said to my buddy, I said,
what does that mean?
That's either a bad guy or it's FBI.
I mean, that's it.
I said,
I mean,
that straight up.
There we go. He knew straight up that that's what was going on. So he's now suing the FBI. I support this lawsuit against the FBI. They're not doing the job that they need to be doing, going after cartels, going after bad guys, getting these people off the fentanyl that they're on. I support this lawsuit against the FBI. I hope he personally sues Merky Garland and Christopher Wrongway. I mean, this is a guy who is not looking out for the safety and security of the American people. It's as simple as that. We got a great guest coming up here in a matter of minutes. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. I'm going to go out. I'm going to go a little bit early to Pam Warner to get the look at the traffic. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to reach out and I'm going to say, hey, how are we looking out there on the roadways? I mean, we heard that story. We heard that report earlier just a couple minutes ago about a vehicle there into Lake Norman. And we're going to certainly want to get that bit of information. Also, find out what's going on 77, 85, 485. Let's go on over to Pam Warmer with the look. Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Brett Witterbull, live at Hold Their Feet to the Fire. I am so happy to be joined by somebody whose work I've admired for such a long time, Brigitte Gabriel. It's good to have you back on the show, my friend.
So good to be back with you.
It is great to have you back. Now, you're with Act for America.
I chair Act for America, the largest national security organization in the country. Mm-hmm. And now I want to make sure people know to go to our website, actforamerica.org. We have a petition. We have a drive on our front page, Stop the Invasion. And it focuses on the it focuses on stopping people invading our border. That's been signed now by 3.4 million people.
Wow.
Go to actforamerica.org. It is directed to your elected officials. So what we're talking about, you know, here we're talking, Brett, about holding their feet to the fire.
That's right.
Our elected officials' feet to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Things are not going to change unless they, our elected officials, feel the heat. We can talk. We can complain to our friends. We can complain about the murder rate rising, the crime rate rising. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe what's happening at the border. Mm-hmm. But unless we take action and burn the feet of our elected officials, hold their feet to the fire, they're not going to respond.
So, you know, what's interesting, I'm watching today the president speaking there at the United Nations. He's checking all the boxes that he usually talks about, climate change and all this sort of stuff. And yet I don't hear anybody talking. You talk about it. It's obviously a vital issue. But the number of terrorists that they've apprehended coming across the border, I mean, they say it's 66. I think it's many more number, a higher number than that.
That's right.
I mean, when did the border become optional? I don't understand.
Exactly. Bridget. Exactly. And you know, when you talk to somebody who's a legal immigrant like me, who did it by the book, you know, for the millions of people who came to America, just like me, some came on the Mayflower, some came on the TWA, like myself.
That's right.
You know, in the 80s. But when I came to America, you know, you go to the embassy, you knock on the door, you say, may I have a visa to come visit your country? You ask permission to come to somebody's home.
They
give you a visa. You come to the United States, you start the process. I paid for my own airline ticket. I paid for my visa. Yes, they charge you $50 to get a visa.
That's right.
I paid for all my doctor's visits because, you know, when people used to come to this country, when I came to this country in the 80s, I had to take all sorts of blood tests to make sure I'm not bringing tuberculosis into the country. Mm-hmm. I'm not bringing leprosy into the country. And I hate needles, by the way.
Sure.
And I had to go get poked here and there, take this blood test and that blood test to make sure I'm safe. And I gladly did it. That was part of the process. And then when I got my green card, you had to wait. You know, the period between when you get your green card until you get your American citizenship is 4 to 5 years.
Right.
So once I got my green card, I had to study in preparation for my test to become an American citizen. I had to study a 2-inch thick book written by the Daughters of the American Revolution about America's history, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our judicial process, our Congress. And then I had to take an exam in English as well, both in English, a written exam as well as a verbal exam about our history, the Constitution, etc., and pass in order for me to become an American.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I became an American, I knew more about America than my American-born husband did. That's the type of Americans we want to bring into the country, and that's the type of process we want to put them through. That's how you assimilate them. People need to appreciate and understand the value of America, the freedoms of America, what we had to go through to get this freedom, the price we paid to get this freedom, the price our founding fathers paid to get this freedom. Right now, we are welcoming criminals into our country who are breaking the law to get here, and we're rolling the red carpet for them. So can you imagine how legal immigrants like me feel if there is one subject that sets our hair on fire?
Oh, yeah.
This is it.
Okay, and that raises an important point, because I had somebody say to me last night, they think people that are born in the United States, they take this country for granted, and then they've been cowed by a number of people who don't want you to say, no, you got to come in the right way. Suddenly we've been conditioned, or people have been conditioned, to say, well, I'm intolerant, I'm racist, I'm all this kind of stuff. The Marxists are doing a very good job of selling that message.
That's right. And what we need to do is do not listen to their words. When they cannot argue with your fact, they slap a label and they call you a racist bigot, because they know our people are going to shy away. Look, I'm Lebanese. I've got tan skin.
Yes.
I come from the Middle East. So, you know, I love America. And so I'm not I'm all for pro-legal immigration, because I am a legal immigrant. You always need the new blood to come into the country. But what we have right now, we have people who have no appreciation for America. And this is why on my web, Act for America, my organization, we are celebrating our 20th anniversary, by the way, which is a milestone. Act for America right now has a petition on our front page, an action campaign. Go sign it, called Stop the Invasion. Go to actforamerica.org, click on Stop the Invasion. Take action. We have an email pre-written for you that you can send to your elected officials. Once you fill in your information, we will give you the name of your elected officials on the federal level and the state level. Send them that email. We have posts prepared for you for your social media. With one click, you can post it on your Facebook. You can post it on Twitter. It will tag your elected officials as well, so they cannot hide and say we're not listening from our constituents. You know, Brett, they say squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Absolutely.
And we need to squeak. We can do it democratically.
That's right.
You can do it in the privacy of your own home, sitting in your pajamas, sipping your cup of coffee at 7 a.m. in the morning. Yep. No excuses. We have to take action. Go to actforamerica.org and take action.
Are you, on a 1 to 10, how optimistic are you for what's coming in November? Do you think that you are going to see a change in the House and the Senate come November?
We will only see a change if our people go out and vote. You know, in the last midterm election, 50% of the people voted. That's it. 50%. And the majority were Democrats who voted, not Republicans. So unless we act now and go out and vote, history will repeat itself. It's not up to question. History will repeat itself unless we go out and vote. And by the way, we now have a drive. If you go to actforamerica.org, on our Get Involved campaign, you'll see a Secure Our Election, different campaigns on the website. We want to make sure we drive people out to register to vote.
Yes.
Make sure if you moved in the last 2 years, if you were renting and you moved apartments in the last 2 years, if you moved your zip code in the last 2 years, make sure you are registered to vote in your new address. The last thing you need is show up to vote and they say to you, no, you're not registered at this address. Sorry, you can't vote. We want to make sure everybody is registered. We have a link on our website under Get Involved. You'll see it under Secure Our Election. So you can go out and register. Make sure you do that. You know, I am optimistic if people take action, if people show up, if people understand what's at stake and they take action.
It's incredible to see this city coming back to life after COVID and the cities around this country coming back to life. And yet we're experiencing all the exact same challenges. Illegal immigration, crime
That's
in
right.
the streets, homelessness, inflation. The country is crying out for a change, and I appreciate you coming by and being somebody who's an agent of change in that regard, and trying to make the country a much stronger place for the future generations of those who were born here and immigrants who come in legally, because we want to make this as special as we can, and we should treat it like it's special.
Right. We should treat it like it's special. We are cheapening ourselves to the world when we're giving America for free, because right now people who are coming have no appreciation for America. And we need to make sure we secure America for future generations. And I want people to know that do not give up hope. There is hope. We can take our country back. But you've got to be engaged and you've got to make your voice heard.
Great stuff. Brigitte Gabriel, this is the first of what I hope will be many conversations moving forward through the future. I appreciate you coming by and the good work you're doing with Act
Thank
for America.
Thank you so much. It's always an honor being with you. Thank you for having me with you.
It's wonderful to be with you as well. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is the phone number to be a part of our discussion, of our conversation. Coming up, we're going to take a little bit of a dive also into what's going on with fentanyl at the border and how that is absolutely crippling our young people. Whenever I hear people talk about fentanyl and an overdose, it makes my skin crawl because it is a targeted killing of our children, of our young people, of our potential. And that is something that I am gravely, gravely concerned about. And it's about raising your voice in that regard and saving lives. It is a real pleasure to visit with Brigitte and to hear her passion for this country. I have not met a single person here in this gathering at this broadcast gathering where people are saying shut the border, don't let anybody in. Everybody is saying we have to do it in an orderly fashion. We have to do it in an orderly fashion. We can't just do it willy-nilly. It's got to be done on purpose, properly, all of that. I have not heard anybody say, deport everybody, don't let anybody in. America is a special place because America is a special place. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Let's head on over to Anna Erickson with the update. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Brett Winterble. We are live at Hold Their Feet to the Fire in Washington, D.C., thanks to Brigitte Gabriel for coming by. And any chance I get to catch up with Richard Valdemar, I'm very happy to do it. We made acquaintances last year at the gathering here. You are a former sheriff, a former instructor in Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. You've been involved in law enforcement for a very long time. You've written a ton of stuff. You've produced documentaries and movies, and you've even been featured in some of them. What's your feeling today when you look at how open the border is and how much danger we're in right now? Fentanyl, cartels, crime. I mean, where do we go from here, Richard?
Well, it's heartbreaking because I feel like we're turning into Mexico. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can't trust the cops, if you can't trust the courts, if you can't trust the politicians, what do you have? Mm-hmm. You got Mexico. Mm-hmm. And that's how they did it in Mexico, and it looks like they're doing it very successfully here.
And by the way, you are a member of the International Latino Gang Investigators Association. So it's, you know, you understand all these dynamics in Southern California, in the Southwest, and how it impacts people's quality of lives here. Gangs are really resurgent right now. They have got the upper hand, don't they?
Yes, they are, because they've handcuffed all the proper tools that we used to use to mm-hmm. to impact the gang's criminal activity. And, you know, every community is suffering from this. I mean, there's we have, you know, about 10% of the kids getting involved in gangs, even in the worst neighborhood. Like, I grew up in Compton. Mm-hmm. Still, most of the kids make it out without ever getting in a gang. And then you get about 5% of them to drop out within the first year or so. But then you get 5% who commit 80-some percent of the crime.
Wow.
And who do they commit the crimes against? They commit the crimes against the community. They don't go to Beverly Hills and rob somebody. Mm-hmm. They rob somebody in Compton mm-hmm. or, you know, wherever, East yeah. L.A.
A local vulnerable neighborhood right. person, right? I mean, that's what they're doing.
And so all this talk about raza or black pride, well, who's committing the crime against mm-hmm. raza and black community? Mm-hmm. Gang members are.
Let's talk about this. We talked about this last year, the idea of defund the police and the impact that that has had on law enforcement. We see it in a lot of places. I'm coming out of Charlotte. I've lived on the West Coast. I've lived in West Texas, New York City, Boston. I have not seen this much demoralization among law enforcement ever. I mean, they feel like they're literally handcuffed. I mean, it's like they're literally handcuffed.
Yes, you can just look at Los Angeles. I mean, we have Gaston, who came from the public defender's office, who ruined San Francisco, and now he's ruining Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. He's not a prosecutor. You know, that's what happened when they stopped picking a district attorney who was a prosecutor and started taking somebody who's from the National Lawyers Guild or mm-hmm. or a defense lawyer or a public, defense person. Mm-hmm. You have a completely different attitude. You know, for them,
right.
Criminals are all innocent. It's the cops that are the problem.
Yeah, that is the systemic racism and the narrative that you hear all the time. You shared with me something off the air that I think the audience ought to hear, and I'm going to presume this is not a unique phenomenon just to L.A. or the West Coast, where you have police officers being told TNA.
Yes.
TNA. What is TNA for police officers?
Officers have told me that they're being told, take no action. Handle your calls, but don't do anything else, because all you're going to do is create a problem. So we had demonstrators in front of our headquarters in the Hall of Justice who spit and threw things at our deputies walking in and out of the place. And their bosses were telling them, don't do anything. Don't do anything. Well, somebody spits in my face, guess what I'm going to do? I don't care. I don't care if my boss tells me no.
Yep.
I'm going to punch that guy right in the face.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't, because if you do, you're a racist, right. And you're going to get fired.
Will you go to jail then? I mean, would they actually put you in the jail? Because they won't put criminals in the jail. They put you in the jail.
Of course, that's a different rule for the law enforcement or any citizen. Look at that kid that shot those people during the rioting. And they convicted him in the court system, public
Public opinion, yes, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, with CNN and
Rittenhouse,
MSNBC.
Rittenhouse.
Yeah, but he was innocent, and I would have done exactly what he did. He tried not to get involved, mm-hmm. and then when he had to, he finally defended himself. By the way, before, since the law enforcement is getting these things about don't respond or take your time responding or mm-hmm. not take any action, who defends your family while those cops are not coming?
Right.
Well, you do.
You do.
And how do you do that? If the gang members have guns, you better have a gun. Mm-hmm. So taking away the guns, I hear this. The problem with gangs is the too many guns on the street, and they're buying them in the gun shows. And no, they're not.
Yeah.
Gang members get their guns from the same place they get their drugs, from the illegal market, the underground market. Mm-hmm. In fact, drug dealers take guns in and trade. So if you want a gun, you go to the drug dealer and buy it from him for $50 or $100. Mm-hmm. They're stolen. They're not sold by a gun store.
How much of a complication is fentanyl now in our country?
God.
I mean, when you look at this number, the numbers.
You know, it can't be an accident. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are sophisticated chemists producing drugs.
Yep.
And they're killing our people. Thousands and thousands of them. Mm-hmm. There's fentanyl being found in marijuana. There's fentanyl everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it can't be an accident. It's a plan. You know, when the Colombian cartels first started, they said cocaine is the poor man's atomic bomb. We're going to drop it on the United States, and we're going to destroy them because our people don't use this.
Right.
They do.
Wow.
And it's true. The United States is the number one user of drugs. We're also the number one buyer of pornography, human trafficking.
Yep.
This is a symptom. This means that there's something wrong with us if we have to do this.
Richard Valdemar, I appreciate you coming by on the program today. It's important for people to hear what we're up against and hope that they're going to lobby their elected officials to take some kind of action, or at a minimum, take action to protect themselves.
And we really don't need a bunch of new laws.
Right.
We have great laws already in place. All we need is administrators to stop handcuffing the law enforcement community and let us do our job.
Richard, I appreciate your service, sir, and appreciate you coming by on the show, and I look forward to visiting with you again.
Thank you.
Be well. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Pam Warner's got a look at the traffic. What a great hour. Thanks so much for Brigitte Gabriel coming by and Richard Valdemar. He's did a lot of work with the motorcycle gang stuff out on the West Coast. He's a really interesting guy. Coming up in this next hour, we're going to have Mark Morgan come by. He is somebody who has done some incredibly important things when it comes to keeping our country safe. We're taking your phone calls as well, 704-570-1110, and we welcome to the program a man called Jim. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It was such a California-centric broadcast, I had to call in. I'm sorry.
Well, you'll call in if it's a Luxembourg-centered conversation, too. I mean, you're always – anybody is welcome to call in and check in, and you are always welcome, my friend.
But it's important. The things we talk about are important. It's important when people have awareness of what's going on. But I had an encounter this morning in the supermarket that just now that I'm listening to you today, there has to be some kind of providence that going on there. I talked to a guy that Bill Walton works with closely at the food bank. He's the president of the Alpha Project. He started the Alpha Project. He started out many, many years ago, was taken in by St. Vincent de Paul and Father Joe Carroll. He was a part of the homeless population. I believe he was addicted to heroin when they took him in, and he found divine he found the divine wisdom from Father Joe. He worked with him. He actually was helping him stack boxes. And because he was so tall, he had a very close relationship with Father Joe, you know, helping to stack boxes and get the things off the top shelves at the food bank. And he went and he started his own outreach community program. And now he's the head of it. It's Bob McElroy. I don't know if you've heard of him. Have you ever heard of Bob McElroy?
I have.
He's the president of the Alpha Project. Bill Walton works with him directly, as helping out with the outreach and the food programs that come through the Alpha Project and San Diego Food Bank. And it was just him standing there in front of me. I recognized him. And ironically, here's the guy, he's the president of a food bank, and he's buying himself some food at the supermarket.
Well, where's, you know, wait, hold on a minute. Wait, stop right there. Where is he supposed to, what is he supposed to take samples home?
What, he can't just reach off something off the shelf and take
no,
it?
No, you can't do that. No, that's for the people. That's not for him. What's wrong with you, Jim? You can't go into the food bank and go shopping. I mean, you can't.
At
what
any
are you
rate,
doing?
It's an ironic joke.
I know.
But he, you know, the only advice I have for Bill is that I think probably what happened with Bill Walton is, I mean, his wardrobe might have been a little bit too endearing to the people that he was encountered. And also, I'm not making a joke about this. I think they probably knew him and knew that he's probably, that he's withholding, you know.
In other words, he's got money. No. He's got money on him? Like, he's got money?
No,
is that what
weed.
You're thinking?
Weed.
Oh, weed.
Yeah.
DJ.
I think
DJ,
that they knew of him and they thought, and then in the homeless community.
Stay off the weed.
Right, you're holding out on him. You're bogarting if you don't give him some.
And I don't know any of this. I don't know any of this discussion. I don't know any of this about the drugs. You're talking about drugs. Well, I don't know what this is. You're sending some kind of a secret message out there. But I look. I have a question for you about Bill Walton riding a bicycle. Does he ride a regular bicycle, or does he ride one of those like 1890 bicycles with the giant wheel and the little tiny wheel in the back? Because he's incredibly tall. I mean, does a guy that tall ride a standard bicycle?
No. I think it's a 10-speed. I've actually seen him in pictures and stuff on rides.
Wow.
It's actually, and that's the only thing you can ride when you're that tall, except for maybe a beach cruiser. Maybe it is a beach cruiser. You know, one of those one-speed beach cruisers with a basket for his weed. Maybe
you know we'll have to. No. We're not talking about a basket full of weed. We're not talking about shopping for groceries at the food bank. I don't know what's going on over there. This is not how this is supposed to work.
It is California, so you got to.
I thought they just handed people dope when they got across the border because everybody's doing drugs out in California. I don't understand this. I'm so happy to not be in California. I'm very happy.
Well, I can assure you, I'm not, and Bob McElroy isn't either.
I know you're not. I know you are a solid citizen. All right, now here's what you got to do. Go get yourself some olive loaf from the top shelf. I appreciate you being out there, Jim. News Talk.
Let me text Bob and see if he's nearby.
News Talk 1110. We are are live here in Washington, D.C. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Hour 3 now underway. Our telephone number, as always, 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Great to be here with you as we continue our coverage. Our coverage of Hold Their Feet to the Fire. We've got a number of great guests that are going to be joining us today and tomorrow. But we're covering all the big stories that are front and center on everybody's mind, whether it's inflation, whether it's the border security issue, which is obviously still very much front and mind, front and center. And on top of all the other stuff that's happening, we are taking your phone calls, 704-570-1110. So on Tuesday's broadcast of Fox News Channel's Your World with Neil Cavuto, Representative Henry Cuellar, Democrat from Texas, said that there wasn't concern about the welfare of those coming across the border until they ended up in New York City, Washington, D.C., Chicago, and Martha's Vineyard. He said nobody was listening to the border communities for years, and now that it's happening in their own backyard, they're talking about it. Cuellar said, well, certainly one of the things that we see is that when something happens in your own backyard, then it becomes a problem in and of itself. What we're looking at is that there is some theater involved here. It's gotten the attention, and that's what we're talking about right now. Cuellar says he's more interested in practical solutions. And one of the practical solutions is that we've got to give our men and women of Homeland Security, Border Patrol, ICE, CBP, the power where they can enforce the repercussions. Why do you think it is that the President of the United States orders the border opened as his first order of business coming into the presidency? Ron Klain prepared that memo to open that border, and thus was created the crisis of crises that we have seen in for the first time in many, many years. What's in it for the Democratic caucus in the House, the Democratic caucus in the Senate, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, what's in it for them to ensure the border is wide open? Do you believe they are personally benefiting? Do you believe that they're trying to do something as a quid pro quo to some of the open borders advocates? How can they possibly justify allowing this continued scourge, killing our children, our young people in this country with illicit narcotics that are designed to kill the people who consume it? What could they possibly have in mind for this country? Well, past is prologue. And I think it's fair to say that this is not the first time Kamala Harris has looked the other way when a transnational criminal engaged in an act of bloody violence. I talked about it when they were running for the presidency and vice presidency of the United States. The Bologna family, you can find them. Just go ahead and Google it. San Francisco Bologna, B-O-L-O-G-N-A, the Bologna family. They were a family that was driving around in the streets of San Francisco on a Sunday afternoon coming back from a family gathering. And they ran into an MS-13 Veterano who had an AK-47 and who turned that weapon on that family, killing the father and the son. And when Kamala Harris had the option to ask for a capital charge for this murderer, she said no when she was the district attorney of San Francisco. It was so outrageous that even Dianne Feinstein lobbied her to ask for a capital charge. This was an open and shut case, broad daylight on a Sunday afternoon. She said no. Well, if past is prologue, then you have to assume that Kamala Harris is somebody very comfortable with violent crime occurring on streets and communities. I've certainly never heard her give an address or a speech, write an op-ed talking about the need to get tough on crime. We've never heard Joe Biden say anything about getting tough at the border. He's never been to the border. Kamala Harris has barely been to the border. So you kind of have to take them at their actions. Why would a president and vice president sign executive orders and support executive orders that turn off the Keystone XL pipeline, ensuring that we have less access to energy? Why would a president and vice president of the United States continue to run around attempting to convince the American people to allow the Iranians to have a nuclear weapon? Why would a president and vice president, and we can go on and on and on and on. Remember, it was this vice president, when she was still a senator, who bailed out rioters destroying cities in America. And it was Joe Biden who cited originally as a defund the policer, though he changed his mind. What is it that causes these two individuals and the party more broadly to accept a certain amount of violence in our city streets, deaths in our homes and schools, and a permissible attitude towards those who seek to take innocent life? What drives an individual to do that? Bo Thompson comes by next. We'll cross the streams. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Brett Witterble Show. It's that time of day. AM, PM, PM, and AM. Although I wasn't available this AM. I am available this PM, and so is this man, Bo Thompson, as we cross the streams. Hello, Bo Thompson. How are you?
I'm good, man. I have to aim the stream crosser up instead of left or right now, and I'm just wondering, I guess it's reached all the way to D.C. because here we are talking to each other.
Oh, you know what's funny? I was talking to at least a half a dozen people who were saying, oh, yeah, we listen to you guys all the time here in D.C. They pick us up, and they listen to us here, as you well know, with this mighty signal that we have. And they were highly complimentary of our programming. And you want to know one of the things they pointed out to me?
What's
how
that?
Impressed they are that from essentially 5 a.m. to 8 p.m., we're live and local. They were very impressed with that. They made specific mention of that to me when I was settling in here.
Not the norm across the country at most talk radio stations, and especially one as big as WBT. I mean, it's been a long time since we've been able to say that. And, you know, I think we're in a really good zone right now.
And you know what's really cool is we're able to take the audience with us wherever we go. I mean, think about this. I'm sitting here in D.C. We're talking about immigration. It's a huge issue, right? You're working President's Cup coverage and things like that. I mean, this is massively huge, and it's something that is really, really special, and I'm just so happy to be here with you.
Same here. And D.C., I haven't been to D.C. in a few years. How is everything in D.C. right now?
It's okay. In fact, they've done a very good thing, as TJ can testify. We have not had a siren come by in the last probably an hour and 10 minutes. It's been about an hour and 10 minutes since we had a siren come by, because we're broadcasting outside overlooking the Union Station and, of course, the main post office right here, and I've got the Capitol right behind me to my right. I'm looking as we speak at Diamond and Silk, who are standing here, and it is a unique experience indeed.
Which means, of course, that before you and I are done here, you will hear a siren.
Of course I will. That's 100% right. That's 100% right. So you guys had a very interesting conversation earlier today about the idea of capping terms at age 75 in the House and the Senate. What's going on with this? Fill me in on this.
Well, so I know this is a difficult conversation to have and pull, you know, the partisanship out of it, but there's an article in The Atlantic that was actually talking about King Charles and suggesting or imploring Charles to abdicate the throne at age 75. So he's 73. So basically serve 2 years and then give it up to your son, who's in the prime of his life, ready to go, has been training for this with you. And in other words, what's the term they said, gerontocracy, which is essentially the state of the older end of the demographic, holding all the high powered offices. And so the suggestion, I guess the jumping off point for our conversation was, okay, this notion of King Charles being asked to do that, you and I both know he's not going to do that.
Right.
I mean, how long did he have to wait to actually get here? So, but the idea of looking at politics as a whole. And if you transpose that over here to the states, you know, Donald Trump is 76, Joe Biden is 79, Reagan was 77 at the end of his presidency. Jesse Helms, if we're talking about North Carolina politicians,
right,
was 81 when he left office. And then, you know, I think most people know that Strom Thurmond there was 100 when he left office, which is a record for any senator. And just the notion, and we took calls on this, and of course, that it's a moving target because you and I both know people in their 90s that are every bit as with it and on point, and more so than some people who are in their 80s and 70s. So it's a tough argument to have, but we took a good number of phone calls, and I think, you know, the prevailing opinion was, look, if you're gonna have an age limit on the back end, or on the front end, I should say,
right,
meaning you have to be a certain age to take office, then, you know, maybe you should consider one on the back end, but it's too much of a moving target with mental acuity. Although we are looking at the guy that lives in the White House in Washington right now, and I think, you know, left or right, partisanship excluded, mm-hmm, I think we can all say that he's not the same guy that he was back when he was vice president, even. So,
right.
Interesting.
Right. That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Here's what I think is so interesting about the way you frame this, because are there people, and I mean, I'm asking out of complete innocence and ignorance here, are there people serving in Raleigh, in the state Senate, in the legislature, that are 79 and 80 and 100 years old? Can you think of any that are like that?
I'm sure there's some in their 70s. I don't know for a fact, as we're sitting here, about 80s or above, but I wouldn't be surprised. And then you can go on the reverse order of end of that. I mean, Tricia Gotham, who has been a longtime election analyst for us and now has won the Democratic nomination, but she's running for NC House again. Her first time around, she was the youngest ever to serve in North Carolina in her late 20s. So it does run the spectrum.
I think it's easier at the state level than at the federal level, because you get people who are they become institutions, right? They call them institutions. I remember walking in the Senate building with a good friend of mine named John Ashbrook, and he was an aide to Mitch McConnell, and we were walking down the hall, and he said to me, "Do you know whose wing that is that we're walking past?" And I said, "No, I don't know whose wing it is." And he said, "It's Robert Byrd's wing." And I mean, we're talking, I would say, a football field in length when you were walking, okay? Like, that was where his thing was. And I said, "Wow, that's a huge thing. What's in there?" And he said to me, quote, and he was somebody very close to McConnell, he said, "We don't know. Nobody knows. Only the people in his office know." Because he's been in the Senate since, you know, what, 1958 or whatever it was. He started a million years ago. And he said, "Nobody knows what's in there, because he's just been there forever." And that, you look at it and you go, now you're kind of like a Roman senator. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, it's really a wild challenge. All right, quickly, tell me about the President's Cup. What are you watching out for here? We know Governor Cooper's going to be heading in for it.
Yeah, and we still don't know about any people of higher office, although it's been rumored. But tomorrow is the beginning of the competition, and it's, for people who are used to the Wells Fargo Championship and the PGA Championship, even, this is a lot different. It starts later in the day. Each day has different types of competitions. Like the first day tomorrow, five foursome alternate shot matches, and then Friday has five four-ball best ball matches, and then there's a even more variety into the weekend, and then Sunday is 12 singles matches. So this is you know, the team aspect is going to be more of a raucous crowd. It's going to be unlike anything we've seen here in Charlotte in recent times at Quail Hollow. I'm excited, and you know, tomorrow is the day when it gets cranked up. I'm going to head out there after the show tomorrow and check everything out. So looking forward to it. We'll have Bill Rosinski, who is one of the voices of PGA Radio. He's going to be calling the radio action at Quail Hollow. He's going to be with us tomorrow in the 9 o'clock hour. So we'll have everything people need before they head out or are thinking about heading out there.
Going to be great stuff. I'm looking forward to it, my friend. I'm looking forward to crossing the streams with you in the morning. And picking up all the pieces from the overnight. Appreciate you being there, man.
Have fun in D.C.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110. Grab a call here. Let's talk to Steve. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir.
I was listening to another daily broadcast a couple of years ago. It had Louis Gohmert.
Okay.
Guest hosting.
Yep.
And when he said the first thing that he was instructed to do during his first days there was to get reelected. They said that the Republican Party said, your job is to get reelected. And that shook me to the bone. And it proved to me that the deep state is in control and they are shaking in their boots. They started shaking in their boots when Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton. So everything that we're seeing now is the deep state reaction to Donald Trump.
All right, so let me ask you this question then. When you look at the stakes in this country, and the stakes have certainly never been higher than they are right now, Steve, our ability to have a country is at stake, and I don't think that's overblowing it. Do you think that we are offering up, and it's a broad question, do you think we're offering up our best possible candidates for the office of Congress, Senate, governor, president? Are these the best that we have to offer in this country?
I look at some of the state races, and I hate to say this, but Pennsylvania has a loser versus a loser situation. So it's bad and worse, and you know, who do you choose?
Okay, wait. Hold on one second. Hold on one second. I want to ask a question about that. You're going to have plenty of time to answer. Did you support Donald Trump because he was a celebrity?
No.
Okay. So if he picked Dr. Oz to run for the position that Dr. Oz is running for, do you think he picked him because he's a celebrity or he's the best guy for the job?
I think Donald Trump has, and I think one of his negatives is he focuses on winners and losers, people right. who can win versus people who can lose. Mm-hmm. And maybe a lot of time that's good, but maybe in some respects, I think he's selling the public short on that. But as far as the rest of the country, I think you're seeing a lot of people who are stepping up and saying, I love this country and I want to serve and not to be served. And those are the kind of candidates that I support.
Who is can you give me an example? And I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm really genuinely curious. Can you give me an example of a politician that's in the current crop of people running around D.C.? Maybe you see him on the shows. Maybe you see him, you know, here and there. Is there somebody that kind of fits your bill where you watch him and you go, that's my kind of guy right there, or my kind of gal. I want that kind of a person to be representing us in the country.
My kind of gal would be, what was her name? Elise Stefanik from New York.
From New York, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. You know, she is definitely a firebrand. Marjorie Greene Taylor, the same way. She speaks her mind and is not afraid. I mean, when people call up and, you know, get you swatted, how many times was she swatted? What, three times?
Yeah, a couple, three times. Yeah, in like a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are some seriously deranged people after her, and that, you know, to me proves, you know, like your old boss Rush used to say, she is right over the target because she's picking up the flack.
That's right. That's right. I'll tell you somebody that I like a lot as a person. I think he's really smart, and he's able to use his smarts in a clever way, which sounds like repetitive. But I like John Kennedy a lot from Louisiana.
Yes. Yes, and it's a strange thing to me to hear that last name Kennedy refer to somebody who's actually conservative. Let me tell you, you know, yep. being an older guy that I am, you know, yep. I'm 60, and, you know, grew up during the Kennedy years. And so anytime the name Kennedy gets mentioned, yeah, I cringe with, oh, my God. But now we have a Kennedy who is actually a good conservative who is fighting the fight.
I think God he would bless. Make a fine vice president for somebody. I don't know who it would be. I don't know that he would want to be president. But I think he would make a fine vice president because he doesn't suffer fools gladly. He laughs at them, but he yeah, calls you out on your ick when you're not making sense. Great stuff, Steve. I appreciate you coming by on the program, and you know, call back anytime, my friend.
Yeah, man, I love it. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. That's Steve. It's one of those kind of offshoots of the conversation that Bo was having with Beth, and that he was recounting to me when we were talking about the conversation about the leadership in this country. You know what I was struck by? And this may sound like an odd comparison, but if you travel with me here on this, I think you'll like it. Mark Morgan's going to join us tomorrow, by the way. When you look at the Queen and you look at her commitment to service in the country, and you look at how she passed away, there's been 11 days of mourning, 10 days of mourning, and now we're on to the reign of Charles III. What I was reminded of in hearing people talk about her service to the country, to her country, and her efforts, I thought back to the passing of John Paul II, St. John Paul II. And I remember in the waning days or months or a couple of years, John Paul II was being criticized for sticking around too long. I remember hearing that. And when you think about John Paul II and the fight that he waged, I mean, he was shot. The Soviets ordered him shot by Ali Agha Shah. He was a virulent anti-communist. And you think about the people who were saying, ah, he's got to pack it in, he's got to shut it down, he's got to get off the stage, he's too old, he's too old, he's too old. And you looked at sort of that heroic suffering that he went through towards the end of his life and then passed away. And I remember the congruity between him and that battle that we were having in our own country about Terri Schiavo, whether or not they were going to kill her. And he was an outspoken voice for life. You know, it's interesting. We look at people, and when they become inconvenient or annoy us, or we don't think it's right for them to still be there on the stage, we sort of try to cancel them and remove them. And we forget all the effort put in at the younger end of their life to help preserve Western civilization and the fight against the great menace of menaces, communism and Marxism, the greatest enslaving vehicle that a human could ever come up with was communism. And across the coast, from the swamp to uptown, I am Brett Witterbull, alongside Mark Garrison, who's
yes,
got
sir.
Charlotte at 6 coming up next. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. Are you having fun up there?
Yeah, we're having a good time. Good. Sirens have resumed. All is back to normal.
Going to have a big expense-paid dinner tonight, I hope.
Excuse me? did you say expense-paid?
Yes.
I may have an expensive dinner, but it's not going to be paid. I'm going to have to...
Well, you are up there on company business, right?
No, well,
milk it for
what?
All it's worth, brother.
I will probably go in the back and wash dishes in exchange for a small...
He's for
a small piece of of cheese.
Yeah,
what do you got cooking tonight, my man?
There's a lot. You know, parents and teachers are going, enough already. 8 schools, 4 counties, bomb threats for another day, disrupting
what?
Classes, kids sitting out in the sun while the bomb dogs go through classes. It's getting out of hand a little bit. We'll talk.
We need a mandatory
that.
Life sentence for doing this. I'm telling you.
You know, a kid can get prison time for doing it. In theory, I mean, you know, it is a felony to do it. I mean, I don't think any kid's going to go get locked up. But,
yeah.
President's Cup starts tomorrow. A big cha-ching for Charlotte. Big question is, will Biden or Trump or both show up?
What if neither shows up and Hillary shows up?
I think golfers might view that as a letdown, right?
Oh, maybe.
Helping Puerto Rico Samaritan's Purse from North Carolina swinging into action. We'll talk to them on how they plan just to get water to people to drink down there. It's a mess.
Look, you know that these things are going to hit over a period of time. Why not? I would hope we would take some infrastructure money and build some infrastructure
to make it
resilient there. My gosh.
And at 6:35, success at 6. This is a fun story tonight. A couple of Charlotte guys I met sort of by happenstance who are history buffs. They tracked down ghost signs.
Ghost signs?
On barns and buildings, yeah.
Oh, so like from companies from like 200 years ago?
That's exactly right.
Wow.
Yeah, we found one in Greensboro that had this old product on there that was supposed to be directed at women. Said, good for what ails you. Yeah, it's 38 proof alcohol for the most part.
You won't remember what happened the next day.
That's right. But you'll feel good.
Can I ask you a question
that's sure.
slightly off topic?
Oh, sure.
I'm curious. Have you yet reviewed a restaurant that offered up NyQuil chicken?
NyQuil chicken?
Oh, yeah. It's a thing now.
It is? What?
The kids they're on the TikTok, they're cooking. They're telling you to cook the chicken in NyQuil to get buzzed.
Really?
Oh,
I'm opening up a food truck next week. NyQuil chicken truck.
The NyQuil chicken truck.
The sleepy chicken?
Well, I mean, that's got to just be nasty to eat.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Good. I don't even like it when I take it when I'm, like, actually sick.
Yeah,
NyQuil
exactly.
is actually a better flavor.
It is, oh. yeah.
Okay.
Or you could try a little Pepto-Bismol chicken. That might be interesting. Kill two birds with one stone. Or
depends where
one stone
you buy
with
it.
Two birds. Yeah, right.
What was the rating? All right. Mark Garrison, Charlotte at 6.
Yes, sir.
You see, that was awesome. And the sirens are playing me off. All right, that's Mark Garrison coming up, Charlotte at 6. All right, coming up tomorrow, I'll be here again, and we're going to track some of these other big stories that are moving as well. One of the things that came out overnight that I was really interested in and I want to develop a little bit more was this conversation about China starting to brag now that they can blockade Taiwan. That is a game changer, no doubt. It has been a pleasure to be with you for the last 3 hours. We will do it again tomorrow starting at 3. Thank you to Tommy and TJ, Anna, and, of course, our good friend Pam Warner, Mark Garrison, Bo Thompson, Brett Jensen, and each and every one of you. Enjoy the evening, ladies and gentlemen. I've got the watch here in D.C. News Talk 1110-993 WBT.
All that you want, take the scan. Doesn't it make you feel better?